The image of the Good Shepherd is one of the oldest pieces of iconography in the life of the Church. Images of the Good Shepherd with the sheep on his shoulders, painted in the catacombs in Rome, painted, sculpted throughout the history of the Church, pastoral images painted that prominently figure the Good Shepherd in their midst. It is an image that brings peace and comfort to us in the best of times, in the worst of times, in all times, to know the great love and solicitude that God has for us, so much so that he willingly lays down his life. He who is, as St. Peter reminds us, the shepherd and guardian of our souls. And as the Lord himself makes very clear, he willingly gives himself because he's not a hireling. He's not one unconcerned, but rather he is one intimately involved in the salvation of those entrusted to his care. And that is precisely what it is that he does. It is such a profoundly beautiful image that at times we might lose sight of also what then is required of us. Because that, brothers and sisters, which we celebrate in the Easter season, the gift of new life that has been given to us, we know was purchased by the blood of our Lord, by his death on the cross. And as St. Peter himself likewise makes very clear to us, it is by his stripes that we are healed. What that means for us is not only a disposition of gratitude for the manifold blessings that the Good Shepherd bestows upon us, a great trust and confidence in the Good Shepherd, knowing that in times, especially of difficulty, we can go to him. He will hear us. He will care for us. He will exchange himself for us. It also requires from us an obedience, a willingness to listen to the voice of our shepherd and to do whatever it is that he commands of us. And this oftentimes is the most difficult of the proposition in the image that is presented to us. It is easy to rejoice in new life because it is new life after all. And of course, we find a great deal of peace and comfort in knowing of the love and care and solicitude of our Lord and Savior made manifest by his life on the cross. But then we oftentimes neglect what our role and our response should be, to hear and to obey, to willingly be governed, and to follow after our Lord, and to train ourselves to listen attentively to his voice so that when he speaks to us, we might be able to respond. In truth, if there is anything that ails the modern age, and there are so many things that do, so many things about which I have preached from this very spot, in one sense, they all can be brought down to one thing, that is an unwillingness to be governed, an unwillingness to listen to what God commands of us and to make the necessary sacrifices to be in relationship with him. Sacrifices which become reflective of our willingness to accept the sacrifice that has given us new life. Everyone loves the love of God. Everyone finds great peace in the sacrifices that Christ makes, but then seemingly are unwilling to make any sacrifices of their own. We take and we take from God. We ask and ask. We demand and demand. And God provides for us. God listens to us. God hears us. But then, like little children having gotten what we wanted for today, we walk away ungrateful, churlish, expecting more and more, and never willing to give him anything, that which ultimately is his due. This is true of all of us, princes and paupers alike. Popes and priests and the common man. All of us struggle as we have from concupiscence, but now the modern age has engendered it even more, an unwillingness to be told what to do, an unwillingness to listen to others, and ultimately an unwillingness to listen to Christ. So let's be very clear. If you take advantage of the Good Shepherd and you receive from him the blessings that he bestows upon you, then you in return must be obedient to him. It isn't a quid pro quo, we do this and he does that. He's already given us new life. He's already sacrificed. He's already shed his blood. But rather, it is a reflection of a love that you have for God and an awareness of what it is he's actually done for you. Do you understand the new life that has been given to you? And do you allow the Lord to be the guardian and the caretaker of your souls? This is not a rhetorical question. You must ask yourself every single day, how do I live unto God in every aspect of my life so that everything about my life reflects that the Lord and only the Lord is the master of who I am and what it is that I hope to be? And then in listening to his voice, most especially here in the Holy Sacrifice, but also in our daily prayer. Notice there again the commitment to daily prayer. If you're not hearing the voice of God, if you're not creating opportunities for him to speak to you, it will be difficult for you to train your heart to hear what the Lord is saying to you. But then once he does speak to you and you have listened to him, are you prepared to follow wherever it is that he might lead you? Knowing that even in the face of difficulties, because he willingly gives himself in our place, there is no reason to fear. This then gives a whole new dynamic and dimension and intensity to what it is that God has gained for us and what it is that we celebrate in our Easter season. I believe sometimes, brothers and sisters, and I'll speak about my own life. That will make it a little bit easier, maybe a little bit less threatening and uncomfortable. How easy I take advantage of all the blessings that God gives, that I think nothing of all the graces that have been bestowed upon me, and I squander them moment after moment after moment, knowing that like a child, I can go back and there will be more things that God will give to me. And if I truly beg and ask, God will provide what I need, maybe even what I want. So my life clearly is an indication of all the ways that God has blessed me. So why should I not believe that when I need the most, he will continue to give them to me? And indeed he will. But then I think about how ungrateful I am because I so easily squander the blessings bestowed upon me. How oftentimes I am willful and self-directed instead of listening to God. That I do the things that I'm supposed to do, but I do them oftentimes begrudgingly, only out of a mere obeisance and slavery to the rules and regulations instead of allowing them to be manifestations of my love for the one who loves me completely and totally. To give to him what it is that he has given to me. He guards and safeguards my soul so that I can return it back to him. Not to keep it locked away, that it ossifies and dries up, but rather that I might, like Our Lady, allow my soul to magnify the Lord and my spirit to rejoice in God, my Savior. This is what we must do in our daily lives. The Lord has done so much for us, given us things that we could never have imagined in 1,000,000,000 years of living. Over and over again, we still could not have fathomed that God would come to us, make his dwelling among us, grow to be a man who gives his life's blood and sheds his body in order that we might have new and everlasting life. And yet that is precisely what has been bestowed upon us. Now on your part, listen, pay heed to what it is that he says. Safeguard that which he himself is guarding for you. Protect yourself from sin, from doubt, confusion, fear, and anxiety. Listen only to the voice that will bring about salvation. The Lord who speaks to us most eloquently here at the altar of sacrifice, who remains captive in the tabernacle that we might come to him, speak to him, and he can speak to us. The Lord desires a oneness that only is fostered, created, and rooted in him. Let us rejoice at the Lord who is our good shepherd, and let us pledge a life of obedience to follow our master wherever it is that he might lead us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.